Good morning, Texas. Good morning to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And a special good morning to any of my website folks that are listening in. Good morning to my streaming visitors that may be out there. Good morning to Matt and Jerry at the radio station. We're looking at program number 38. It's our fifth program dealing with the church. The local church, the body of Christ church. Basically, we've been looking at the word church. Now, Friday, this past week, we started up a series within a series, I guess you could call it. What should go on in the local church? This will take a few programs as well to get through a couple of these things. We looked up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and we read through that slowly, and we saw that the purposes and the objectives of the local church, the plural churches that are mentioned in the scriptures, are, as we looked to the Gentile church, we saw that the purpose of the pastors and the teachers was perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ until we come in the unity of the faith, unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As Christians, we wouldn't be tossed about for every wind of doctrine by those who are sneakily trying to get us to do so. We would be able to speak the truth in love. We would grow up into Christ in all things. We'd be part of a fitly joined together group of people. And if we weren't following those objectives, then we would be walking like other Gentiles walk, or walking like the lost world walks, and that is because we have not heard from Christ. So now today, let's look at those verses a little closer, and let's do something that I call a word study. It's the simplest way to study a King James Bible. Everybody says the King James Bible is antiquated, it's hard to understand. But it's not. If every word in that Bible, as God promised in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, every word is preserved, every word is inspired by Him and then preserved, so these words are the words of God out of the mouth of God directed to different dispensations, as this Bible was put together in 1611, really all you need to do is study the words. So what I'm going to do this morning, and the next couple mornings, we're going to go over perfecting of the saints. We're going to look at the work of the ministry. We're going to look at edifying the body of Christ. What is the faith? What about the knowledge of the Son of God? And what about that word doctrine? Everybody's so afraid to discuss doctrine because it causes such arguments and strife, but it shouldn't. I'm just going to show you how you do this in the King James Bible. This is how I've done it for years. And really all you need is a King James Bible. And I would suggest you have a concordance. A concordance lists every word in the Bible and what verse it's at, and you can look them up in the, like alphabetized, and look up the word, and you look up all the verses that has that word in it. Now, you don't need the kind of concordance that's got the Greek number system in there, because that's bogus. There's a lot of things in there that can be proven to just be silly and totally not true. Just need a concordance. And nowadays, we live in such technical times that we can take that concordance online, we can type in the word we're looking for, it'll pop up all the verses that have that word in it, and then you can print them off, and you can sit back and you can read through those words, and you'll see all sorts of different things as you do that. You can write the verses down, but a printer allows you to look at all the verses in one print off, if you have that capability of printing. Otherwise, really, all you need is just a King James Bible. Now, just to kind of remind you how easy this is, and it's not meant to be difficult, let's take a look at Psalm 119, verse 130. And it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So all we need to do is for God to work in us, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," this is Paul talking, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we just need to take a quick look into this Bible, look up these words, and you will see a study come up in front of you. And it's a marvelous study to observe. Now 2 Corinthians 3:12, Paul says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, which we do as Gentiles, with the risen Savior teaching what he has and the goodness of God, we use great plainness of speech. So there's nothing difficult about this at all. Let's look at this thing. Let's do this like we've done it before, like I've done it before hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And let's go back. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. And what we're doing is looking at what should go on in a church. And these were the objectives, these are the purposes in Ephesians chapter 4 that should be our design. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it starts off, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of saints, stop right there. Perfecting of the saints. Now, let's just take a quick look. You type in the word perfect or perfecting, you take either way, and you pop those verses up, and you print them off if you can, and those are the verses that have to deal with perfecting. Then you read down the verses, and different ones will stand out for what you'll start to see. The different ones will have similarities, and some of them won't have anything special, what you're looking at. And you'll come up with about 2 or 3 or 5 or 8 or 10 or whatever numbers of verses that will truly be dealing with perfecting of the saints, our being perfected, ourselves being perfected. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 8:16. 2 Chronicles? Yes, because we have to define the word perfect. So 2 Chronicles 8:16 says this, now all the work of Solomon was prepared until the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was perfected. So there's the definition. God defines his words within a King James Bible, and there's how you define the word perfecting. Perfected. Perfect. Finished. It just means it was finished. You look in your room and you're a kid and you're cleaning your room and you get done and you just kind of put your hands up in the air and go, perfect. That means you're done. It's finished. You've done your job. So now, let's go back and let's look at those verses that have to do with the saints, with us being perfected or finished, completed. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, whom we preach, look at the verses above there, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So there's the goal that Paul has from the risen Savior towards us, that we may be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Be perfect, he says. Has anybody ever told you, now be perfect? Are they telling you to live that sinningless life? Don't make any mistakes. Don't say the wrong words. Don't wear the wrong. Just be perfect. No, he's talking about, you know, be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Be perfect. He's talking to all of his people. Let's let God perfect us. Let's let God work on us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Attained what? Well, back to 11 there. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either or already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and he says to forget those things that are behind. But there he mentions that word perfect again. Not as though I had already attained, either or already perfect. So nobody's there yet. Paul wasn't there yet. But the process of being perfected, that's one of the goals, that's one of the objectives of the local church. It isn't just to come and have fun. It isn't just to come and worship, as they say today. It isn't just a place to be. It isn't just an organization. It's not a place to get babysitters for once a week for free. It's a place to where you're going to hear what you need to be doing to be perfected. Go to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. There it is. Epaphras is praying that we would stand perfect and complete. See, they kind of tie together, perfect and complete, in all the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, we should do that Bible study for you sometime, but to Make it simple. The will of God is that you follow Paul. If you were to study the word will, the phrase will of God, you would find out that it is God's will for the Gentiles to look to Paul to follow Paul. And if you were to do such a thing, there will come a day that you will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, because that is God's will that you would stand perfect and complete. Okay? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So there it is again. And this time, we realize that we are perfected from the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are there for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That's the process of perfecting us. And the last one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day praying exceeding that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That was Paul's desire. He wanted to be with you. He wanted to see you. He wanted to see your face, meaning there you are together. And his purpose, his goal, his objectives, his desire is to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So there's the first objective, or the first goal, the first purpose of a local church. You go there, you're going there to hear the preaching, hear the teaching, hear the scriptures read, and you're going to be perfected for your lacking. That's the first part of a church. And that was the easy Bible study, just by looking up the word perfecting, or perfect, and looking up those verses, and we saw those sorts of things. Okay, let's do another one here. Let's look up the work of the ministry. Well, what is the work of the ministry? Well, anything that the ministry does? Well, pretty much. But we should kind of narrow the works that we do to something that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. You want to be doing something within your church, within your ministry as such, that would last through the fires of the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that takes us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul's title is a wise master builder. We've got the foundation of Jesus Christ. The foundation we have is the risen Jesus Christ, because that's the one that Paul talks to everybody about. Are you following the doctrine of the risen Christ, or are you following of the doctrine of Jesus to the Jews? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if every man's work is going to be tried, then the work of the ministry, which will be the work of all the different people within the church, that's an obvious conclusion that it will be tested at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we know that the judgment seat of Christ isn't going to be judging us. It's going to be judging our works. Well, what's the standard for our works? Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, that's Paul. So to say it simply, our works will be judged by Jesus Christ, whether or not we followed Jesus Christ as the risen Savior's teachings, of which he gave to Paul, preserved in the King James Bible to us to this day. So the work of the ministry is doing the work of the risen Savior. That was too simple. Now, number three, the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 talks about edifying the body of Christ. Edify means to build, to instruct and to improve the mind in moral and religious knowledge in faith and holiness. Oh, I got that definition from an 1828 dictionary. That's something else I would recommend people having. Not only just have a concordance, especially on your computer, but that 1828 Webster's Dictionary says things like they really were meant back in the days when this Bible was written, back in the earlier days when words had some definite depth to them. To edify means to build, to instruct and to improve the mind, to improve the mind in moral and religious knowledge, and in faith and holiness. Compare that definition to a modern dictionary and you won't see anything like that. Well, we take the word edify, type it into our little computer thing there. Here come up all the verses. We print those off, and here's what we find. Go to Romans 14. That looks like a good one. Okay, we'll go to Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Okay, that's a command, I guess. We should live our life in a way that makes for peace and edifies another. Okay? Now, here's the one that could be a sermon in itself, a separate bunny trail. 1 Corinthians 10:23, it says here, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, he can say all things are lawful for me. We've talked about this before, because Christ took care of the law. So we have no law. For until the law, sin was in the world, it says in Romans, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. See, we are made free from sin. The law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So really, all things are lawful. But one of the strings that I call strings are attached to the fact that they should edify. They should instruct and improve the mind in moral, religious knowledge and faith and holiness. There should be some edifying to each other in that action that you're doing. The other things in those strings are must be expedient, as we see there. And it shouldn't cause anybody else to stumble. It shouldn't be used as an occasion for the flesh. And it shouldn't have a power over you. Those are things that are strings attached to our liberty. But back on the subject here, and that's edifying. Things we do should edify one another. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Let's go back to where we started. That's where it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then let's go down to verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. This is talking about a solid unified body here. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. We should be able to be such a tight-knit group in our local assembly or the body of Christ in its own self that we can edify itself. We edify ourselves here. Then he says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, that's quite a challenge. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So what should come out of our mouth? That which is good to the use of edifying. Doesn't just mean positive, because sometimes you can overdo your positiveness and be not telling the truth. Edifying is not always pleasant, but it's edifying. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. If there was ever a complaint that I had as a pastor in a local church was within that assembly there, we're not very good at edifying one another. They were not very good at ministering grace to each other. Pretty picky bunch. And I probably shouldn't say any more than that. I've heard preachers say the worst people they've ever had to deal with were Christians. Shouldn't be that way. We should have to be able to speak the truth, but we should be able to speak the truth in love, as we read there. We should be able to edify each other. The work that we're doing within that ministry should be one that follows Paul's teachings. Then we know it won't burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. And the whole goal there is for the perfecting of the saints, for our benefit, for our growth. Okay, Does that make sense? If you just sit down with your Bible and your papers that you've got the verses written out on, and you just read through that page, you'll see some things. Now, one other thing I want to say. When I first discovered how to do this word study thing on my own here, what I started doing was, I would take the word, let's take the word edify. And I would look it up, I would print it off with Paul's books, Romans to Philemon. I would separate all the other books so those don't come up. Then I would go through and I type in the word edify, and I list them all out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first 8 chapters of Acts, if that were to be appropriate there. I would have those verses written out. Then for the third time, I would go look up the word edify from Hebrews to Jude. Because those are the books, to me, without a shadow of a doubt, those books are geared toward the tribulation. So then I would look at those 3 printouts, and I would compare any word that I was looking up, I would compare it to the Gospels, I would compare it to the tribulational books, and I would compare both of those to Paul. And I would always find out that what Paul has to say about certain words, it's just different than the Gospels and the tribulation. Another interesting fact was the Gospels and the tribulation all had the same application and the same definition and the same way of being used. Well, they were written by the same guys. But Paul had his to the Gentiles in such a fashion that it's just different. And it's very encouraging, it's very edifying, it's very, very much all to do with the perfecting of me and of you as a Christian, and it's what the work of the ministry should be, and that's having us grow and be perfected. And then he says at the end of Ephesians 4, not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, be able to speak the truth in love, to grow up, there it is again, into Christ in all things, and be part of a fitly joined together group of people. That would be the local assembly. And like it says at the very end of Ephesians chapter 4, unless you want to walk like the other Gentiles walk, and that's the vanity of your mind, and if that's the case, then you are walking with your understanding darkened. You're walking a walk that's alienated from the life of God, and that alienation comes from an ignorance because your heart is so blind. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that dirty life, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Is that what your church, is that what your pastor, is that what your teachers are teaching you? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now tomorrow, we will go through what it means, talking about to come in the unity of the faith. Not in the unity of faith, but in the unity of the faith. What is the faith? And then it says in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. How important is the knowledge of the Son of God? Is that being taught in your church? Remember, last program on Friday and the program today is dealing with what should be going on in church. And we're talking about these from a King James Bible. Very simple. Entrance of their words giveth light. These words give us understanding because we are the simple. And Paul uses great plainness of speech. There is nothing difficult or complicated about a King James Bible. In spite of all these big national leaders and radio personalities that do everything they can to criticize and cut apart and tear down and destroy the Word of God, we will talk about that in about 2 or 3 days. So that's it for today. You folks out there have a good day. I'd like to hear from you. If any of this stuff is interesting to you or not interesting, or just I'd like to hear from some folks out there in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. Even what my website family is writing to me and telling me what they get out of these things. And just like to hear from some folks. Talk to you tomorrow.